When it comes to analyzing the not-so-sweet side of life, they don't get any nittier or grittier than Professor Bryant. He's the nation's premier paleontologist. The web-based publication Food Safety News recently called upon the good professor to investigate a sticky crime scene. Hello, Professor.
Glad to be here.
What's a paleontologist?
It's paleontology. If you want to really literally translate it, paleo refers to sweet. Paleontology is a technical term for the study of pollen. Paleontology is somebody who looks at pollen and honey.
So Food Safety News wanted to do a sting operation into the sale of honey in the United States, and they called upon you.
That's true. They had been hearing that a lot of the honey produced in the United States had the pollen removed. And, of course, once you take the pollen out, you don't know two things. The first thing you do not know is where the honey was produced. And the second thing you do not know is exactly what flowers the bees were utilizing in order to produce the honey. And the reason Food Safety News was concerned about this was because China has been, for a number of years, guilty of dumping honey on the international market, and particularly in the United States.
So kind of honey laundering.
Yeah. Well, because there's a 250% tariff on Chinese honey, they've been sending it to other countries like Vietnam and Cambodia and Indonesia and Malaysia and India and places. And then those countries were then exporting it to the United States and claiming that it was domestic honey from those countries. And so the American Beekeeping Federation and the National Honey Board and others have consistently requested the federal government to enforce some kind of a truth in labeling. But the federal government has been dragging their feet for years, and most other countries in the world have truth in labeling. You cannot export anything to the EU unless you certify where the honey comes from and what is in the honey, or they won't allow you to import it.
So what does the USDA say about this?
The USDA basically says that as long as you do not add other sugars, or as long as you do not add extra water, and as long as you take out any of the bee parts, meaning legs and wings and stuff, that you can sell it as honey. That's the only requirement. They have no other requirements.
So if you take out the pollen from honey, what are you left with?
Well, if you take the pollen out, the only thing you've got is sugar. So the pollen is really the only nutrient material in honey. I mean, the pollen does, in fact, contain amino acids, it contains starches, it also contains fats and vitamins and various kinds of minerals. And a lot of people eat honey because of the nutritional value that they're getting from the pollen.
Well, you found, and Food Safety News reports, that 100% of the honey that was purchased from CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, had no pollen and therefore really wasn't honey. Ditto for McDonald's. I guess 3/4 of the honey purchased at Costco, Target, Sam's Club, Walmart didn't have any pollen either.
Well, that's true. You know, quite frankly, what I tell people is caveat emptor, meaning let the buyer beware, because most of what you buy in the store in terms of honey is not what the label says. One of the things that we discovered, not only can we not tell where the stuff comes from, but premium honey that's being sold like buckwheat or orange blossom or sage or thyme honey, and people are willing to pay premium prices for this very exotic types of honey, we can't confirm that any of that stuff is actually coming from those plants because there's no pollen. I've been telling people for years the only way to really guarantee you're getting good honey is to buy it locally. In other words, buy it for the beekeeper or buy local honey that is being sold in grocery stores and so forth, because all of this commercial stuff is honey.
So, Professor Bryant, is there any way the average honey eater can taste test for the presence of pollen?
I doubt that very seriously, and I do know that there are professional honey tasters. They say, oh, well, I can tell the difference between a sourwood and an orange blossom and stuff like that. But quite frankly, I don't know whether or not they could actually tell if the pollen was removed or not. I myself, I love honey. I eat all kinds of honey, but I'd be honest with you, I can't tell the difference whether there's pollen in it or not in most cases. But again, I'm not a professional honey taster. I am a honey tester.
So, Professor, are there any crime scene honey investigations other than this one that you've cracked?
Well, I tell you, you know, in addition to looking for pollen and honey, I also do kind of CSI work. I work with law enforcement agencies looking for pollen and trying to catch criminals. And a case that I worked on a couple of years ago was in Rochester, New York, where they had a teenage girl who was murdered in 1979, and it was a cold case. And they reopened the case just about a year ago, and I suggested that they send me the clothing. And after doing a thorough pollen investigation of her clothing, I determined she probably came from San Diego, California, which, of course, shocked the people in Rochester. The last I heard, they were investigating missing teenagers in California back in 1979.
Well, Professor, thank you for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Vaughn Bryant is director of the Palynology Research Laboratory at Texas A&M University. Just ahead, documenting the twists and turns of the nation's first offshore wind project. Keep listening to Living on Earth.